We're here. There's tablets on here. I thought
there's tablets. Of course, there's tablets.
Is this the team that's about to get fired? I heard Mary Jo or somebody said this team's.
They haven't told me that. You got a son that just started school, man. UNLV is not cheap.
So who are you?
So I'm Frank Kosinski, and who are you?
I'm Robert Scumble.
Hey, Robert, how you doing? Hey, so I work on the tablet team, actually the mobile platforms division, and we're.
Oh, so you renamed yourself after you got all this bad press?
Hey, it's Microsoft. That's our job. We do a lot of that. But the reality is, when you look at tablet's an integral feature of the mobile solution that customers are demanding today. They want access to their data anywhere, anytime, and how do we bring that to them? Well, pen and ink really is the form factor. It's the functionality. It's letting them do it. But there's more to that. There's data.
Now, who's in this room?
A lot of people are in this room. Everybody that's in the room, say hi.
All right, so is this the entire tablet team or a fraction? Or?
No.
Did you go and round up people from other teams to make the tablet team seem real? Or?
There's a few more folks, like there's Ravi, you know, Ravi's on the team.
Just to
excellent.
Be clear, if you're referring this as a tablet only, half of us are going to get up and walk out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so that's why the mobile group, the mobile platforms.
The mobile
division. So
platforms
we're enabling or empowering developers to build mobilized PC
applications. Hey, that's not a tablet. That's mobile.
Tablet, no.
Wow. You're one of those weird notebook guys. All right. You know me. I'm a tablet evangelist.
You are. You're one of the best. I certainly appreciate that. I'm like all the time.
Me and Laura are out there trying to get people to use tablets.
We do have the first lady of tablets with us.
Now, oh yeah. Hi, Laura.
Say hi.
You guys are preparing for the PDC? You're here late at night, every night?
We are preparing for the PDC. It's been an interesting ride. I was telling Aaron today that this whole week has been 8:30 to 2 a.m. pretty much. Yeah. So it's typical Microsoft fashion. We make it work so customers get the benefit out of it.
And you guys are working on Windows Vista, although you're not showing Windows Vista on your
channel. I'm not going to personally show you Windows Vista today. I'm going to show you some of the work we're doing on the XP platform.
Okay. And why mobile? What's the big deal about mobile right now? I mean,
well, it's customers.
I thought everybody's going to buy a desktop with a graphics card.
I don't think so. The numbers really show that customers are buying mobile computers. They outsold desktops for the first time. Out of the 120 million machines out there, over 70 million of them are mobile, what we would consider mobile computers. Right. So the trends are there. The people are telling us they want access to their data anywhere and anytime, and that's what we're trying to bring. So it's pen and ink. That's integral, but it's really more than that. It's power awareness. It's network awareness. There's a lot of things that we as developers have taken for granted for a long time. We're always plugged into that socket. No, it's not the case. There you go. Case in point. How many people here are plugged in? No one. You
know? And I'm running a Direct3D sample. Right now.
Yay! There you go.
Show off. There's always a show off in the group.
We always have internet connectivity. That's not true. You have to think about those data caching.
But
and data
when we hear the word mobile, I think about cell phones. I don't think about PCs.
I agree. That's what the world thinks about it. But we're here to tell you it's bigger than that. PC applications really are important to everyone's day in and day out activity. They're becoming more personal, and that's what we're doing. We're making them more personal here.
That's what Microsoft thinks of it. That's what Microsoft thinks about, generally, when they think about mobile devices.
Now, who are you?
Not what Intel thinks about.
Yeah. Who are you and what do you do?
Just the battery life guy.
That's why you don't want to give the name, because you get all the email. Why does my tablet last more than 2 hours? Oh, all right.
Seriously.
So why don't we just introduce me real quickly, what your name is.
Sure. Hi, Robert. I'm David Switzer. I'm the lead program manager on the laptop team working on battery life and power management.
Awesome.
I'm Dave Jones. I'm the lead program manager working on text input, which includes the tip and head earning recognition. Wow.
I'm Tracy Schultz. I'm the program manager working on input panel.
Wow. I'm Sriram Vijay, working on the Office Display feature on mobile PC.
Yeah, your video will be up on the channel too.
I'm Elliot Graff. I'm the technical editor for the developer experience team.
I'm Bill Locke. I'm a test engineer for the platform team.
Okay. What does the platform team do?
The tablet PC platform team. We create the SDK for the tablet PC.
Okay.
That's not just all. We also deliver the operating system.
Okay. I'm Suresh Velikpuri. I'm the group program manager for laptop PCs.
Wow. I'm C.W. Jones. I'm the director of tests for the laptop PC team.
I'm Mark Hawkins. I'm a program writer on the developer experience team.
Right.
manager of the laptop PC team, working on adaptability features.
Okay.
And I'm Koji Kato. I'm the lead program manager for the tablet PC platform. Our aspiration is to dominate the world with tablet PCs.
He's also quite modest.
Now, is there going to be a debate between the laptop team and the tablet?
You'll see.
Now, let's have the laptop team stick up for themselves. Why isn't every device in the world going to have one of these? What's that?
Every tablet has a laptop.
Every tablet is a laptop. Oh, that's their argument.
Tablet is a feature of mobile.
Well, why won't every laptop have the ability to write on it with a pen?
You'll hope they will.
At some point, we hope they will.
Yes.
How long? 5 years, 10 years, 15?
I think we're starting to see it happen.
Will I still be working at Microsoft then?
Well, we used to.
Not if you keep blogging the way you are.
Well, maybe not after this interview.
This might be it, man.
Toshiba R10 is an example where tablets just become a feature of the laptop.
Exactly, yeah, and I think the Gateway has good examples too, the 275 model. I mean, it's identical except for the hinge and the digitizer, and that's what we're starting to see. It just makes sense. The Lenovo machine.
Yeah. Now, in defense of the laptop team, I'm on the Windows Vista evangelism team, and all of us guys have these beautiful high-end, you know, Ferrari laptops with big resolution screens that you can't get an hour. I don't know. All of those guys always carry their power supplies everywhere. So I don't even know if we've used a battery on one of those things. But
that's Dave's stuff. He's going to make it work.
Do you think Avalon on battery is safe at any speed there, Robert?
I don't know.
I'll have to take trying to figure out right now.
We'll have to go up in the Boeing plane and see how far we get without.
And Robert, how do you find that serves you as a mobile PC solution?
That's a little heavy.
Yeah. It's not so easy to carry.
You should see my M4 here.
Is it bad?
You give me one of these M4s, which are pretty big.
It'll keep you warm on a cold day, though.
Oh, no, yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
Because there'll be a lot of cold days down in LA for PDC, right?
Oh, yeah.
Combination laptop.
Well, it's better than the fire last time.
So. That's true.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the fires last year. Was that caused by one of those laptops?
Sorry, that was
2 years ago. 2 years ago, that's right.
Remember when the flights got canceled the day before the PDC?
Yeah.
SeaTac was a nightmare.
I was in the war room, and there was people, execs were running in, trying to figure out how other execs were going to get there for the keynotes the next morning and calling up everybody. But anyway, that gets to a point, right? There's still some advantages to laptops over my M4 and my M205 tablet, right?
But I don't think that's a temporal state.
Okay.
Eventually, laptops will be tablets, and tablets will be laptops.
And there'll be no difference.
I don't think I would say it's an advantage. I think there's trade-offs on all the things. Like you said, when you describe the machine, that's about your battery life. You're going to trade off certain things. If you want that very fancy, you know, expressive user experience as far as glass and things like that, you're going to have to trade off some things. Our goal is to try and minimize the trade-offs as much as possible. But there's always going to be choices.
Yeah.
I don't know. If you write software efficiently, you shouldn't have to trade off those things.
Battery is my battery. I've been doing interviews all day long, and I'm out of batteries. So I'm plugging the wall, and I tripped over the cord.
Say that again, David.
Show that passion again, David.
So you were showing some DirectX on.
I'll just show you.
Show us.
Here's a really simple animation. It's going to take. Look at the load time on this. This is great. It's a really simple animation, Robert. I mean, you know, we're just moving a couple pixels around inside of a grid here.
Yep.
So if I bring a task manager along with it, okay, my CPU starts around 10%, right around where XP usually is. And then when I click start animating, you know, look at it, it shoots up almost to 100% right away. Yeah. While it's painting like four lines that you could have done in GDI and use like less than 10%. So what's up with that? Yeah. How is that good? Like, why is this even like well-written software? What's up?
That is a great external comment. Because we were talking about the Avalon technology that...
I'm just picking on one example here.
But the trick is that developers, when they think about mobile, have to think a little bit differently than they did for a desktop PC that always has power.
That's true.
Yes.
That part is true.
So I do believe there are trade-offs, and each of us are looking at the trade-offs differently. Dave is optimizing around battery life and trying to push the limits of what we can do there. Personally, I'm trying to push the limits around what you can do for alternate means of text input, where I don't have a keyboard, whereas Dave does.
Yeah.
And everyone around the room is taking a different look at it to see how can we create the best possible experience focusing on our particular area.
And optimize as a whole.
Yeah.
Yes, and together we work to optimize as a whole for the OS.
Sure.
This is a nice operating system.
Now, I'm stuck in planes a lot, and I use a keyboard when I can, but in planes, using it in this mode is a lot nicer.
This is great for browsing the web,
coach
email.
Class, you know.
Yes.
Not everybody here at Microsoft. Yeah, I can't afford business class or first class, so and using it in this mode is a lot nicer. I can't even use my M4 in a plane. If somebody leans back, I just can't even see the screen. The usage model of it just isn't usable.
Can I show you one of our new features that I'm particularly excited about?
Go for it.
So since the camera's here, check out how easy it is to navigate to a website now using the tip. If I just write an M, it drives IE, so I can choose, let's say, MSNBC from a list. I just wrote an M, and I can navigate to the website.
Wow.
Now whether I get there or not is independent on this build.
I just interviewed the networking team, and those problems will be fixed in the next couple of builds or something. I've been interviewing people all day long, so. Some masters of ceremony.
Frank, but we kind of jumped off from Frank.
That's fine. You guys are doing great.
And one thing I wanted to mention, Dave was talking about power management and stuff, and animation in particular. We have a lab at the PDC that people can do regarding exactly that topic, and you go in there and write an animation program that detects whether you're on battery or on AC, and it'll halt the animation if you're on battery. It's a really, really good example if you want to.
Will that code be available afterwards?
Yes. Yeah. So, will be available.
Because most of the people who view this video are going to view it while everybody's at the PDC.
In front of the Dev Center today, like if you go on MSDN, the XP stuff that allows you to detect power state as well as detect like you're going into sleep state is already available on MSDN. There's labs that kind of guide you through how to do it as well.
Yeah.
So go up to msdn.com/mobile PC. Yeah. And that's our Dev Center for mobile PC. It's also the links to our tablet PC Dev Center. All the hands-on labs will be made available there so folks can get access to it.
The other thing we're showing from a power management standpoint is how application developers are going to have to change some of the way that they handle suspend and resume transitions. The power button in Windows Vista defaults now to sleep, and sleep is a more reliable, higher performance, simpler state to use than standby and hibernate have been in the past. And in the past, developers could, when they received a query suspend message, they could veto that message and prevent the system from going to sleep. We found that a lot of people did that because they just didn't want to have to think through the issues of going into standby, coming out of standby. And besides, nobody used it anyway, so you know, why design for it? So we've changed that, and now developers are going to have to be able to just be able to go to sleep at any time because the system isn't going to query anymore by default. It's just going to go into standby, or going to sleep, rather. Yeah. So that's a big change. It's something we're talking about at PDC.
Very cool.
Actually, one of the challenges we always had was convincing developers to, you know, pay attention to how to conserve power, how to maximize battery life, how to behave, how to be a great application in a mobile setting, essentially. So we're hoping the developers will take away that message this time that by doing, by paying heed to the power conservation, they're actually helping their end users use their application longer, better. It behaves great when you close the lid and take the laptop to the next room, and the application that the ISP wrote is still working very well. The developer wrote is still working. So it's a key message for people to tune their applications to mobile equipment, mobile PCs.
Right.
We're hoping this time we will have a better chance of reaching the developer audience with that.
And it's not just because we want them to be good for their customers, because it's those issues that help sell their applications as well. We're trying to help them make money, which makes us successful.
Just after that, I mean, if you think about, I mean, you know, having your PC adapt to what the user is trying to do, right? Like, I mean, power is one example of your, you know, running low on battery life and having the application be smart about what it does about the rest of the battery that it has. Or the other things like network adaptability, right? The fact that I'm in a different location, for instance, or in a world where, you know, everything is wireless or cellular connectivity, how do you react to the different network speeds? For instance, Outlook 11 is a great example of the work they did with offline caching, as well as, you know, downloading only emails when, you know, if I'm on a slow connection, only gets the headers and not the entire, you know, email itself. So being smart about how to utilize the network conditions, and I know, you know, just like Office has done it for Outlook, right, other apps can do something similar where you're smart about the various network conditions and really adapting to the PC. So at Vista, there'll be a feature that actually, you know, utilizes some of the great work that's happening in the networking team around NLA2, the network location awareness 2 APIs that are coming out, that allow you to basically do a fingerprint of the network. And based on that, it does smart things like switches the default printer, right? Like when I print, it prints to the right printer and not to, you know, if I'm at home, it doesn't print my taxes to building 32.
Right.
So, right, I mean, so it's the right, being smart. So I mean, really being smart about how you use the, you know, the platform and enrich and really enabling that for your users. So.
Right. Laura and I have talked about this before, and I think Frank, I'm in public a lot talking about the tablet PC. And the first thing I hear, in fact, I got an email today, I want to buy a tablet, but I can't find it. I can't get my hands on one. Is your team doing anything about that? Why is it so frustrating to get, you know, at Best Buy and see 3 or 4 tablets?
Actually, I think Best Buy is a great example. If you go out there now, my son and I were there a few weeks ago. We were looking for a machine for him. And we were approached by a very knowledgeable young man who brought us through the Toshiba line, and actually the Gateway line, showed us everything about the tablet. So we are doing work. We are starting to focus on pieces like that. Our ISV, hardware showcase up on tabletpc.com has been revamped, so we have more information there. But ultimately, the OEMs are responsible for their products and need to be part of this ecosystem too. So it's tough, but we're getting there. I think the products are starting to speak for themselves.
Yeah.
With Lenovo coming into the market with the X41, awesome machine, the new
HP. That's formerly IBM, right? That's
formerly IBM, yes. It's just a great machine. It's an enterprise class machine. So when you think about an enterprise customer, they don't need a DVD. They don't necessarily have to plug in their DVDs or CDs during the day during their normal activities, but they want lightness, they want battery power. So that's a machine where you can get to 7 hours. Yeah. It's 3.2 pounds. It's an incredible machine for that particular group of folks. So we are getting noticed. We're starting to get more and more good information out there and more press about some of the hardware.
Now, Bill Gates at previous conferences has shown off some prototypes. Small prototypes. Are you guys talking about those yet at PDC or in the next couple of weeks? Or
Bill,
you know, the guy who runs this company. I'm seeing him tomorrow. Maybe he'll show. Maybe he'll have one sitting on his desk, and I'm going to ask him to see if
he. You know, one of the things that we can talk about is what Motion does. I have the Motion LS1600 here. This is my device that I use day in and day out going to meetings. It's a great machine. Love it. Actually, I love it.
So I got your hand-me-down Toshiba, right?
You did. But such is life. That's how it works. This one has a 7-hour battery, so it runs all day. It's got this little extra pound battery piece added on. It's great. Motion just released the LS800. It's half the size. It has an 8-inch screen. This fits in the pocket of the doctor's shirt, white coat. I mean, it is a beautiful device, and that's what we're seeing.
Does anybody have one here, by the way?
I don't think we have one here, but PDC will definitely have some, so come on down to the booth at PDC. You can test drive them, you can play with them, you can even write code on some of these devices in our hands-on labs, as Mark mentioned earlier. Yeah. So we're seeing them get smaller, we're seeing them get bigger. Wide-angle screens, the M4, yeah, it's big, it's 6 pounds. It's got a DVD, it's a dual spindle, it's got advanced graphics, it's got discrete graphics, so it can play Doom and Counter-Strike and all the latest games. And that's what people want. They want these things to do everything. So that's the interesting
part. Well, until you get into the plane. Or until you have to carry it around. You know, when you have to carry it around all day.
But you should be MVP by now, and at least with MVP you can call up the day of and get this free upgrade.
Yeah. Yeah. Can we also speak about the fact that we're going to show that some of the bleeding edge units at PDC, there's going to be some at the pavilion booth?
We have some yet to be talked about devices that will show up at our booth, and the excitement is going to be seeing them. So come down and check them out. We shouldn't tell anybody because we should make them come down and check them out.
Well, if you're an astute searcher on MSN Search, you can find Intel showing off some designs of small PCs that Yeah. Might show up in your team someday soon, right?
You never know. I mean, I think part of the win here is...
Or is Apple going to take all the cool stuff, right?
Hey, I'll tell you one thing. Apple's a great company, but they know how to keep things under wraps until it's ready, and that's, you know, I think something that we need to do.
Okay. Fair enough.
Robert has an interview with Robert Williams and Darren Fish.
Oh, forget it. There it goes.
There it goes. Well, I'm going to work at all angles and finding out what you're hiding.
You see the Channel 9 guy? I brought him with me.
Hey, excellent.
I have some exciting news today that I can't talk to you about. The Channel 9 guy. Well, guess what? We now have the tablet PC guy.
Oh, really?
And if you look at the two, I actually think the tablet PC guy looks a little tougher. I think that pen sharpened too. No, but these guys are going to successfully coexist together. It's going to be a great relationship, and we look forward to bigger and better things from the tablet PC and the Channel 9 guy.
Now, since I'm doing this, is like a
should we stop playing the dogs?
Well, I can't play with applications. Would you like to see one of our new reference applications that will be debuting
really
soon?
Actually, can you float over here? That'd be cool.
I can't float. I'm being held down floating.
That'd be cool.
But one of our goals as an evangelism team, as a developer awareness team, is to bring applications to market that will help developers build and emulate what we're doing. So we talked a lot about power before. We've talked a lot about network connectivity and adding ink. Well, this is what we call a reference application. It's Fabricam Fine Furniture. It's a great app. It's just about done. We're going through code reviews now. It's been in process for 6 or 7 months. And we will debut it at PDC. We'll be demoing it, and the code will be available. Every inch of code, every line of code will be available soon. So it's a Salesforce automation type scenario where the salesperson go into a customer and sell product, and the product happens to be furniture. But what we've done is we've incorporated stuff, such as you can see the battery meter here. It says 85% on my machine. Wow, can you get in closer than that? 85%. And it's using the APIs available today to do that. So we're showing people how to build this into their application. Not only that, we're showing them when to do it. All right? When should they be checking? The cool thing about this is I can come in. I'm going to go through a process of hopefully ordering something. This is a list box that everybody's ready to, but we've made it a little more ink-friendly. So if I go C in here, you'll see it recognized my C, and it went down the ink list to the first item that had a C in it, City Power and Light. So let me open them up and just add something. This is one of the forms. Again, it looks like a traditional Salesforce application or CRM-based application. And I'm working with this customer. They want to buy some furniture. I'm going to go into this, which is our layout control. This uses our new real-time stylus, which is a component that we've built primarily for doing things like this, for advanced interaction with ink as the data is being collected. So I'm going to come in. I'm going to put a wall. And nothing's going to be perfect here, but there's my wall. If you notice, I'll grab some cubicles, a couple of cubicles. As I do that, the product layout sheet is updating, so it notices I have 3 4-foot cubicle panels based on that. I'm going to go grab a desk. I'll throw a desk in here, and now it's updated that. So what I can do is effectively draw the layout of the customer's location, drop in the furniture, and build an order sheet. I can add to the order. So I'm going to come in here and let's go into the instructions. I can say something like, using pure ink, make sure color is purple, because we all like purple. And this, by the way, is the Agilex Infonodes control. So we've integrated this particular control into the application to show how easy it is to do note-taking. Within a matter of seconds, you can drag and drop this control from Visual Studio and get this type of advanced note-taking. So I'll come back to the order, and you can see at the main order page.
This is all running on an existing tablet.
This is all today. It's all running on an XP-based machine. It uses web services to do data synchronization. It does replication. It has all of the tablet advanced control capability in there, so we use context. Meaning if I go into here and I set up the time, I can go 8:30, and it knows it's going to be a time. So pretty much anything I write is going to be coerced into a number, because it knows the context. So we're showing that feature set too. So it's really end-to-end. It shows best practices, and it shows how to integrate tablet into an enterprise scalable application. So we're pretty excited about this. This is only one of the few things that will be coming out, and when you see us at PDC, this is what we'll have. A few weeks after that, they'll be up in our dev center.
Yep. Very cool.
Yeah, it is.
Now, is there a set of controls that you can download and use in your own apps? Does I understand that right?
So we have worked with some of our partners to bring to market a couple of different controls. Today, we have about 10 ISVs that are producing traditional developer controls. So whether you want a note-taking control or a graphing control, they're out there. They're out there in the ecosystem. I didn't bring any of our ads, but we have a bunch of ads that we've been running, too, to drive awareness of that. So it's great because we really want to see component control vendors here because they enable folks that are building those line-of-business apps to easily put together these applications. The Agilex, and you can go to agilex.com or infonotes.com and download that. That is a note-taking control. One of the things we noticed when we talked to our customers, that is our developer customers, where they were doing two things. The shorter half-life applications that are built typically for the enterprise were being, the request was to add note-taking. Right. And the developers were somewhat stuck because the platform itself didn't ship a really viable note-taking component for them. Now, on the other side, we had the C++ developers that were being tasked with somewhat of the same thing. And they were saying to themselves, well, I can do it. I can rewrite journal. Let me go do it. And they were taking months to rewrite journal. And while it's cool and they did it, it wasn't right for Microsoft because we wanted those folks to be innovating on this platform, yeah, making differences with the pen. So we worked with our partners at Agilex. We built the Infonotes control. We shipped it. It ships free. It solves 80% of those scenarios, and it's drag-and-drop simple. It's beautiful. There is an upsell. There's a more professional version that does some other pieces like multi-paging, tabbing controls, but the free control really satisfies the majority. And now what we're seeing is we're starting to see it show up in applications. So you're getting a consistent UI. You're getting developers freed up time so they can innovate with our platform. So more and more controls, we're definitely looking at that, making it easier for developers to build on the platform. Okay. And we're doing the same thing on the mobile end. We're wrapping up from our new mobility APIs, whether it's the auxiliary display. I don't know if we can say the new name yet, but we'll just keep it there.
Yeah.
Take a look at this. This is cool. That is going to be simple to access as a developer.
Yes, yeah, so this is all about extending scenarios for existing applications. So you have applications running on Windows XP or Windows Vista. You don't really have to go in and change the architecture of the application. This is about extending your application to the latest laptop PC, maybe to a remote device that's connected via network to the PC. So we provide a simple set of APIs in Windows Vista. They're out in Beta 1. It's documented. So anyone who gets access to the Vista bits with the Beta 1 SDK or a PDC should be able to party with these APIs.
Yeah,
there.
We have a whole interview with you where you go more in depth.
We go into a lot of depth into how you can use the APIs, all the tools available. But yeah, the quick shot is it's easy access to your applications. It's right there on the lid. You're providing new scenarios for your users. So
now, what are you announcing anything else about Windows Vista and the tablet at the PDC? Versus any?
Yeah.
All right, well, come on, tell me the secrets. I know you have secrets.
So at that PDC, all the features that will eventually be in Vista will actually be in the PDC build. So great new features like the new panning tool, which is in Beta 1 in Explorer, will be there. Pen Flick, which is a new feature for using the pen to navigate your web pages, to go backwards and forwards, add, delete, and your email.
Does it work just how it sounds, where you flick the pen?
It does, in fact. And so, take my pen out here. Just picture, if you will, just taking your pen and...
You're upside down, but that's okay.
That's okay. Picture, take your pen and just flick it upside up on the screen, down the screen, and that's browsing up and down in the browser. And so that works across any application you have on a tablet PC, and that will be in Vista at the PDC show. Also, there's great new improvements to the tip, which I'm not sure if you're going to show that, Tracy.
Now, what is the tip, just for people who don't understand?
That's our secret code name.
What's it called?
Tablet PC Input Panel.
Okay.
So, tip.
Yep.
It's been around since V1. It's the system app that takes an ink, converts it to text, inserts it into an app. But we keep moving it forward and making it easier to use. So, I think it's going to be our best tip ever.
Great.
So, take a peek at Dave's screen right here.
I've got the tip right here. I just showed you earlier how, for example, with IE, we've got a feature we call autocomplete, where you can just start writing the name of the URL you want. I write M, and I get a list of all the websites I visit that have M in it. So if I want to go to MSNBC, I can just pick it from a list, and that's it's that easy. This is integrated all over the shell. We've got a new sidebar invocation here for the TIP, so you can use it, for example, over remote terminal services. Some people like to write whatever they want in the TIP, and they you can make it easy to scratch out with a single gesture like that. Or for not everybody scratches out the same way. Some people are very loopy scratchers. You know.
We've also finally got back of pen erasing going, so you can actually use both ends of the TIP scratch things out.
Let me stop and move my cord. So
mine's alive and running.
You're dead.
Yeah.
All right. So it's dead on screen, but it will not be dead in the PDC build.
Yep.
The new TIP features, they're saying we have integration.
They're fighting words.
Will
not be
dead.
Hey, not be dead.
This is why they call it eating the dog food.
These guys are great. I'm one of these guys.
Yeah, we were asking you for acting more.
Oh, we've got a few.
Are there changes coming to the recognition engine at all?
Yes, there are, actually. For the first time, we're pleased to announce that, at least in the U.S., the recognizer will actually learn from you as you use it. So it'll learn your vocabulary, and you can also train it on your handwriting style as well. Ooh. So we're expecting a big increase.
So it learns as I use it? So if I make a scribble and then say it's actually that word, it'll actually remember that scribble is...
For some languages, but actually technically for English, what it does is it learns from the email you send what your vocabulary is. Yes.
So you have a little watcher that watches Outlook?
Basically, we're leveraging the search system in Vista. So we can actually build up an understanding of your vocabulary, the words that you use every day, and then bias the recognition results toward those.
So that works great in two ways. First of all, it'll add to the dictionary any words you use. So if you have acronyms like the WSLT.
PDC.
PDC. PDC is a great example. Yeah. It'll add those to the... dictionary, but also, as Dave was saying, it biases the dictionary. So if you happen to have certain words you use all the time, it'll put those closer to the top of the list, and if you use those and you maybe don't write them so well, it'll still bias towards those, and so recognition goes up. And also, you can train it on the way that you write. So there are wizards you walk through, and you can write the entire alphabet. You can write confusion pairs, and so Z's and 2's, etc., and it helps it bias towards those ones better.
All right.
So there's two ways.
My writing always has troubles with I's and ones and L's.
Yeah. So that's a great confusion pair, and it's our triple. and so there are specific trainers you walk through when you...
I think we call this the Billy Hollis bug, right? Billy Hollis was in my car and explained to me how he always has trouble with his name on his tab list.
New name for this feature. So yep. Billy, if you're out there, thank you.
This feature's for you.
also, if you have errors you just can't fix, you can send them back.
That's picture the UI.
I've actually got the confusable pair wizard up here, so you can see the first one is Z2 lowercase Z3, and then down here we've got the one you mentioned, which is I1 vertical bar 7. So this is sort of about the second step, but here it asks you to provide ink samples of each one. And you notice recognition isn't happening because it's already told you what to write, so, you know, it's assuming you're following directions. And then you get into this where it says, well, use it in a word. Let me see it next to some other characters.
Yeah.
I don't know if it'll let me. No, it's going to make me fill the whole thing out. and then it's going to give me another one. And I keep going through this, but the more ink, basically, that I provide it with, the more it's going to understand my handwriting and sort of bias towards it. And you guys, Ian was saying, there's another process to step through to do the alphabet or, you know, words or sentences. And so that the more time you spend with it, the more it's going to help you in other situations.
Very cool.
It's a good thing to do on a plane or downtime or any of those places.
Very cool. Now, we haven't talked at all about speech, but a lot of my tablet friends are using speech integrated with their tablet. Anybody here from the speech team? No?
No, we're not the speech team. However, speech is going to be included in Vista. So.
Okay.
We'll get a separate speech recognition on your tablet.
Yeah, because for a lot of things, it makes sense to, particularly if you're, I slide this thing in my in the seat pocket, and then I'd like to talk to it and say, play the Black Eyed Peas, for instance. Why do I need to pull it out and then pen on it?
You'll notice this tablet here does have an array microphone, though, so it's optimized for you.
Yep. This is about using it.
Yep.
And the other things folks may be interested in is, as we said, we're not the speech team anymore, and so there is a speech team at Microsoft that's really making speech improvements for all of Vista, not just on tablets. So yep. It'll work on laptops, it'll work on desktops, it's sort of, it's more universal now.
Don't you have an interview with them?
Oh, yeah. I'm getting around. I'm slowly getting around to everybody. 57,000 people here. It's a little bit of a job, but...
You don't need the camera with the speech team, do you?
But they have to have
the UI
too.
Yeah, they do. You got to see how it works, you know. So, anything else cool that you guys want to show me?
So I do have one thing that I think is fair to discuss. So the other thing that we're doing in Vista is we're not going to have a tablet PC edition anymore.
Oh, so your team is dead.
No, we're taking over by making everything a tablet PC. Well, let's talk about it that way. So,
excuse strategy, getting
you
to announce the PDC, this is going to be
new. Okay. Yeah.
Just want to make sure.
Yeah, at the PDC. What is that? So every version of Windows Vista will have inking capabilities built
yes.
in?
Yes. So inking capabilities will be in all versions of Vista.
Or at least the client version
of Vista.
I assume the server version of Longhorn. And, I don't know. You know. Do you need ink on the server? I don't know, maybe.
No details there, but it's just that.
That's true.
Yes. So ink will be everywhere. Recognition is only supposed to be on specific places, which is a part of the SKU strategy topic that CW was mentioning.
Okay. So what else about SKUs do we, and SKUs are the what the boxes you actually go in and buy, right? You can't go into Fry's or Best Buy and buy the tablet PC edition.
Today you cannot.
Today you can, but
that's implying in the future we can.
So then I could build my own tablet PC?
Yes.
Well,
that's actually more appropriately you can upgrade your current tablet PC.
Got it.
Yeah,
that's
going to be possible with tablet PC in the future version.
Yeah, and what the hardware requirements are they, can Windows Vista run on my old Toshiba, you know, my original one?
Yeah,
that's the M200.
Yeah.
What about the older one?
Yes,
the
M200. It will run.
Milton knows where Vista will run in a very precise level, so you just need to ask it where it runs.
Yep.
It's around, but it can't hide from Hilton.
More hardware. I need more hardware. But yes, it is tested on the 3500, and it will run.
Okay. Does it run well?
It's a qualitative kind of thing, so I'll let you be.
Does it run better than the old version?
There's an issue with the wireless driver.
I would say it doesn't run better than the old version. They run equivalently.
Okay. Well, you guys are still working on performance.
Yeah, this is still in a pre-beta 2 phase at this point. So PDC is going to have a lot of beta 2 functionality to some degree.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting.
What else do I need to know about laptops, the world of laptops? How are they changing?
Touch support.
Touch support.
So the next generation of tablet PC will support touch devices. So
now I thought that you couldn't do that. I thought you guys made an explicit choice not to allow...
Well, as of the day of this recording, which is September 1st.
Okay. So have the digitizers improved, or what's changed that got you guys to say we should support touch screens?
Well, we did a pretty careful analysis of tablet PC running on touch devices. What was that? And
you can throw that away. Oh,
don't throw tablet guy. Your channel eye.
The hardware manufacturers have been building devices that have touch built in for the last couple of years.
Yep.
And they've got devices now that we've tested, and they run quite well with tablet PC OS. So,
okay.
Over the next few months, you will be seeing machines running tablet PC edition, XP edition with touch. And with Vista, we're doing further improvements so that we can support dual devices, so devices that have touch and pen digitizers.
Right. Now, the advantage of using a pen digitizer is when you touch the screen, the cursor doesn't freak
out.
Right.
Also, you have hover, so that when you're above the screen, the tablet can detect the pen and can see it moving around.
Yeah.
And it's actually remarkable how much of the UI depends on that, like button highlighting, etc. And some other aspects actually require the hover to be there. So we've done some work to... in Vista to create a special cursor that when you're using your finger, you actually have a hover mode so that instead of
clicking when you touch, you're dragging the cursor around. So it just improves usability for all applications.
Got it. Tell me a little bit, because I remember back when I first saw the tablet, they made a big deal about the active digitizer, and it the sample rate on the digitizer is a lot higher than, let's say, what you get on a pocket PC, and the accuracy of the digitizer is more granular, right?
But those requirements are actually met with the recent innovations and progress in touch devices.
Okay.
So we're getting enough good input rates even with touch digitizers. That's why we can expand. The other aspect is that there's just these dual devices that are coming out that combines touch and active EM digitizers, and we want to make sure that we address the scenarios where people are saying, it's too tedious to pull out a pen, I just want to click on the button.
Yeah.
That's a common frustration that we hear from users, and we're going to try to fix that in Vista.
Okay.
As well as
can I say one thing about Vista overall? One thing I don't know if people understand is, we've now had the opportunity to get the 2005 version of Tablet PC out for a while, to listen to all our customer feedback, and now finally deliver a new release where we've been able to address all the top concerns we've heard from customers. So we've really targeted all the various pain points and all the little frustrations, like, oh, I wish I could just press that button with a finger. So you're going to see a lot of these things come together in this release, and we're really excited about it.
Right. Now, because of the new SKU, are we going to see inking capabilities used in new ways? For instance, I was in a police car recently down in Silicon Valley.
Really?
I'm not going to go into that.
Which scene were you in?
No, I was actually just checking out their IT department. But they had a laptop running in the car itself, and it was a touchscreen capable laptop. Are we going to see inking capabilities on those kinds of screens?
Because there are already police departments that are using tablets, ruggedized versions in the squad cars.
Yes.
EMTs as well, and ambulances.
Which supports both touch and EM. Those units exist today. It's just that they're going to become much more prominent in the Vista timeframe.
Okay.
And there's a lot of places where people are explicitly making decisions towards touch because they want to use it on factory floors with gloves on and use it that way. Tablet PCs are going to get into those environments, and that's why we're expecting tablets to become more pervasive.
Right.
So the other area that we have actually improvements in for the mobile side of things is in the display handling. So the idea that you'll be able to plug in a secondary display and detect that and not have to fuss around with all the settings in Vista, it'll just work, right? I mean, the PC just behaves magically, right?
That's
so
sweet.
Well, it's nice. One thing I always hate about Windows in general is when you hook it up to an LCD display and it doesn't always pick the right, because for people who don't know, an LCD display can only display one resolution properly. All other resolutions, even your resolution there, is blurry. No, I guess you're...
I'm actually filling out a traffic ticket for you.
Oh, okay. But I go into places that have lockdown machines sometimes, and they have the wrong resolution set. Is Windows Vista going to recognize the native resolution of the LCD and set that properly?
I think what we're trying to do is using the display from EDIT, we're going to try our best to detect the display type and set the appropriate one, and then default to a certain resolution that we can't detect it. So in addition to that, from a corded display type, the other area that we have improvements is the idea that you can project on wirelessly, or basically an IP-based projection, whether it's a network or a wireless projection to other laptops, other Vista machines, as well as to a wireless projector.
Yeah.
And that's all based on the peer-to-peer platform that's coming out, and basically in XP, but it improvements of that in Vista that really enable you to do discovery. And
now, Frank, you have one of those displays in one of your conference rooms, right? You had a wireless
different
display.
We have a wireless projector.
Yeah. Wireless projector. That's different than what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yes, this is.
Okay.
Actually, Robbie, I think, covered both things. One is a network projector concept where a regular TV or something will have a box on the front of it, which is a network-capable device. So much like a printer, it would appear as a network-capable device on the IT infrastructure. And you can just pick that projector from your laptop. Like, I can be sitting here without ever connecting a cable. Just find that device and be able to project to that. So that's one capability. Second is having the ability to project to people in this room. If everyone in this room had a laptop, why bother going to that screen? Or maybe we're sitting in an airport lounge and I want to share pictures of my kids, which I frequently can't do.
I can just save that from another laptop.
Oh, I can. Is this a whole new kind of spam? You know, people sitting near me, you're going to be projecting advertisements and you know.
No, it'll be a fairly secure method where you'll actually have to accept the transmission. So that,
it's a new way to arrange marriages, right?
That's really cool. This projector that you have is awesome, by the way. It's a
Linksys device, basically. It looks like a router. It looks like a fast Ethernet switch, and you can plug it in. It's got an IP address once you configure it, and then that plugs into the display device. So you can walk around with your tablet. Hopefully you have it in, you know, slate mode, and you can present your slides and walk through them. So it's a great way of presenting because you're not connected and not tethered down.
Yeah. Now, on second displays, one problem when you're using it in slate mode, the screen is vertical and most projectors are horizontal, right? Do the monitors automatically switch the external?
When you detect that, you'll be able to set what you want the display to be, and the next time you come back to it, in most displays that have edit information, you'll be able to capture that. So the next time you come back to the same conference room, you don't have to reset it up. It just, you know, works the last time you set it up. So
that's
it really
cool.
Remembers your settings and
basically remembers the best signature of the monitor.
Yeah.
And so it knows what to do the next time it comes through.
Are we ever going to see inking everywhere in the OS where it just is as native as typing is today?
Yeah, that's a very good question, and that's a very hard user interaction model that problem that we haven't solved yet.
Okay. So future versions of Windows, huh? You're working long nights doing that.
You're going to see it appear where it makes more sense first.
Okay.
Yes.
Can you explain what you mean by that?
For example, people say, oh, you could use ink to author a Word document. Well, you could, but quite honestly, using a keyboard at a desk is probably the most efficient way to author a Word document. Okay. So there's not a huge rush to go invest in that. But for something, let's say, like making a diagram, like maybe it usually is easier to create a diagram with ink because it's faster than using little templates and little draw tools. So you'll probably see something like that first. Then.
Okay. Very cool.
Integration with the shell.
Integration with the shell, tablet PC features.
Like search?
We're starting to see stuff. The autocomplete integration into the shell, autocomplete
check
controls, checkboxes.
Multi-select.
We've got flicks into the shell.
Okay.
So it's starting.
And then from a developer cut perspective, so the Tablet PC SDK, we're going to have a Vista era version of that. That Tablet PC SDK is going to change again. It's going to be no more. You're going to say, hey.
Your team's going away.
But that's not the answer. So we're going to actually morph it into mobile PC SDK,
okay,
where the mobile contents and the tablet contents go hand in hand and becomes a one-stop shop.
Okay.
That is a very excellent environment to develop mobile PC applications. Besides that, we're going to have our platform SDK story as usual. And I think you've already talked to Sean Van Ness.
Yep.
So we have investments in the Windows Presentation Foundation. Yes. And
formerly known as Avalon.
That's easier to say.
Yeah.
And the SDK that accompanies that. So we're going to actually have investments in practically most SDKs.
Yep.
WPF.
Yeah.
It's more than a framework.
I wish we could come up with cool names like Avalon, but I gotta find some marketing people. they must be the most boring people, you know. Visual Inner Dev.
Yeah, there's a marketing name.
So, what do you have on your screen here?
Well, what I have in here is this is a game. Everybody have probably played this game once in their life. It's the old tank game. Remember, it dates back about 20 plus years. Well, we reincarnated it, and we reincarnated it for the tablet. So this game actually takes advantage of the pen. So now what I...
Arcs of Fire?
Arcs of Fire is the name of the game. We built a tablet SDK, and that tablet game SDK, and that game SDK really takes into account some of the features that you would want to introduce into a game and sort of builds them into higher level abstractions. For example, trajectory, and of course the tablet guy. So I can come in here, let's get to the game, I can come in here and I can actually use my pen, the stroke gesture, to shoot my cannonball. Watch, I'll go over here. Ooh. And I didn't get that far. I'm not very good at the game.
it's hard.
Well, what developers can do is, what there's two reasons for doing something like this. A lot of people thought we were trying to displace Xbox, but that's not the goal. Even though gesture-based gaming's the
I don't know if you've seen some of the latest Xbox 360 trailers, but...
pretty neat.
You got a little ways to go.
We've got a ways to go, but it is gesture-based gaming, and that's the big talk of the world. No, really, the reality, the reason we do something like this is because, first of all, it's fun. It's fun to learn about the pen, learn about angle, rotation, speed, velocity, learn about how to incorporate this. We've got mobile features in here, so the battery capabilities built in. It has network play, so you can detect if there's a network or an ad hoc network out there, and you can connect to that and play with your friends. If you're sitting in the plane and you want to play with the person next to you, and you're above 10,000 feet, well, go ahead and do it.
So
what if you look at our developers today, there's a lot of corporate developers that build casual games at night. It's huge area for them. They really spend a lot of time. So this is to encourage those folks to look at tablet and take a chance and play with it and see what we have to offer and get them excited. The other group is the students. Students write a lot of games, and this is exciting to them. They can take something like this and modify it. I can go from a tank to the gorilla throwing the bananas across in a couple of hours worth of time. So I can learn that, and I can build a pretty cool game at the same time.
Anyways, anything else you guys want to chat about?
Well, we talked about some of the work that we're doing across all desktops. Power management.
Wait a second, this is the mobile team.
Yeah, well, power management isn't just for machines with batteries. It's also for all of those desktop machines running across your enterprise. Like, let's talk about Microsoft, where the number of computers in the area outnumbers the number of people by probably a factor of 2 or 3. Pretty much every Microsoft employee has 2 or 3 computers. A lot of them leave their computers running all the time. That translates into a lot of electricity costs. It also translates into a lot of CO2 production that we could probably do without. So one of the things that that we're doing in Vista is making sure that desktop computers running Windows Vista can go to sleep when they're not being used. And that can save up to $100 a year per desktop. And if you multiply that across 10,000 or 20,000 desktops, that's a significant enterprise saving. So some of the things that we're doing, great for battery, also...
Everyone's leaving. Thanks, guys. Thanks for spending some time.
We don't love the power talk.
You're going to edit this all back together. The camera's off now, anyway.
Thanks. And so those are coming in Windows Vista?
That's right. And there'll be an enterprise power management story around it that companies can deploy. So we need developers to be really good at handling sleep.
Very cool. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Thanks, everybody, for spending some time.
Hey, Robert, one thing I would like to add.
Yeah.
Especially now that most of the PMs are gone. Oh. all this stuff is coming out, and it's all going all over the place. And what we're trying to do is build up a sense of developer community and experience as well. So moving through the Mobile PC Developer Center will be the forum for where to find out the information about these things. So we're putting up hands-on labs. We're writing white papers and articles. We're putting on video interviews, giving all sorts of tools and information for the developers to be able to delve into this. And all I have to remember is msdn.microsoft.com/mobilePC.
Yep. Well, thank you very much.
Can I actually provide more concrete, like, lures for people to come to Tablet PC? So, as usual, Tablet PC will be graciously giving away various things at PDC.
Okay.
One of the things will be at Hands-On Lab. We're going to actually give away something that will bootstrap you in your development for tablet PCs. And if you're lucky, somebody might find you with the right things on you that you'll actually get a tablet PC. So please do get interested in tablet PC is our message.
And that's at the PDC.
Yeah,
since this is running at the PDC, or at the same time, probably people watching it won't know that. Where can they get the kit, though, that you were talking about? Can people at home get download stuff?
Yes. Are you talking about
Hands-On Labs, I think, what they're talking about.
Yeah, Hands-On Labs stuff, though, it'll be available on MSDN, on the same dev center as well.
Okay.
Yeah. If you just go to MSDN and / mobile PC, you'll find it.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.